This show furnished by Girardi Keys.
This is Champions of Justice, presented by Tom Girardi. Hello, I'm Dave Dino. This is the program that takes you behind the scenes with those who make the laws and those who protect your rights through the rule of law. Your hosts are attorney Thomas Girardi and attorney Howard Miller. Tom Girardi is the founding partner of the law firm of Girardi & Keys, known for passionate litigation of corporate giants on behalf of aggrieved individuals. He is a member of the California State Bar Trial Lawyer Hall of Fame and is widely regarded by his peers as one of the nation's top trial lawyers. Howard Miller is a past president of the State Bar of California and a member of Girardi & Keys, specializing in the areas of patent and other intellectual property litigation, antitrust, and general complex commercial litigation. They are champions of justice for the little guy. Each week, we air this informative and entertaining hour, bringing clarity to the headline-generating legal challenges of the day. We begin our program today with a quote. Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. All in turn have failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. If we do not now devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. It must be of the spirit, not of the flesh. These are the warning words of General Douglas MacArthur in his legendary 1945 radio address after the surrender of Japan. His and other great speeches of the past century by the likes of Eleanor Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, Winston Churchill, Ronald Reagan, are reprinted in Words That Shook the World, 100 Years of Unforgettable Speeches and Events, written by our guest today, Richard Green. Richard Green is considered to be one of the leading communication coaches in the world. Interestingly, he is an attorney by trade from USC Law School, but he left the practice of law to share his communication breakthroughs with presidents, prime ministers, political candidates, CEOs and CFOs, as well as with attorneys, judges, actors, and marketing professionals. His work also extends to message development and helping clients overcome the fear of public speaking. Richard Green's uncanny ability to read body language and analyze all aspects of human communication propelled him to the forefront of television coverage of key news events. He has commented on Bill Clinton's impeachment crisis, the O.J. Simpson trial, the Scott Peterson trial, and speeches and debates covering the period of 1996 through 2012, political conventions, and presidential elections for USA Today and others. His best-selling book, Words That Shook the World, 100 Years of Unforgettable Speeches and Events, released by Prentice Hall in 2002, is considered to be one of the essential books used in communications courses around the world and in leading universities. And he has conducted public speaking workshops in over 30 countries on 5 different continents. We have a very interesting program in store for you today. Tom?
Hi, everybody. Well, it's nice of you to join us. And okay, Dave Dino, here's what we had to do. And how exciting of a venture this was, because I got to sit and listen to the recordings that our terrific guest has gotten together from Winston Churchill, Douglas MacArthur, Martin Luther King, all the way down the list. And in this compilation of these words that shook the world is really something. And Dave Dino, you know, as a trial lawyer, what you're interested in doing is shaking the world. Sometimes the world is only 12 people, those on the jury. But we're in the persuasion business as lawyers. That's all there is to it, and how you persuade. And, you know, when you try the case, you go back to the office, you say, I lost the case. Or you try the case, you go back to the office, you say, I won the case. You're telling the truth. It's the lawyer who either lost it or the lawyer who won it.
Hmm.
And the words that lawyers use to persuade is vital. I don't mind telling Richie Green here that I've gotten some good compliments on some of my closing arguments. But Dave Dino, to be honest with you, I've stolen every word. I've gone back to all these other lawyers that have done such great jobs and so forth, and man just took it word for word, and it works. I mean, that's all there is to it. It worked once, and so it'll work again. So this man does a lot. He just doesn't compile great words that were said by others, but he compiles great words to give to people to say, to communicate the thought. And if you think about, you know, there's such a difference in the way in which people are persuaded, to be able to have the key to this is crucial. And just reading those words, and I remember the thoughts that I had when I heard Martin Luther King, when I heard Kennedy, when I heard Reagan, etc. It was very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you're the real deal Holyfield, Richard Green. I really mean that. I mean, there's nobody like you out there. What you've done for lawyers and what you've done for others in a situation where they have to be persuasive is truly amazing. And it's very nice to have you with us.
Well, I have to tell you, this is, in a way, a dream come true, because I'm sitting next to two people that I have little history with. And you, Tom, actually saved my case back in 1979. I was very excited. I walked into a window on the way to see a beautiful woman and broke my nose, and there was not enough signage on the window. It was very clear. You agreed, and you went in, and you got me a fantastic settlement back in 1979 as my lawyer. And the person sitting to my right is someone who scared me for an entire year at USC Law School. Howard, seriously, you were the best professor any of us in the graduating class of 1978 at USC ever had, and everybody either wanted to be you or to be as good as you as an attorney. And you were an extraordinary, extraordinary teacher and mentor, and it's truly an honor to be sitting next to you.
He hasn't changed much. The same thing in the law firm, okay? They still fear him, and oh, yeah, no, it's bad, okay?
Richard's very kind, but I want you to know that when I go back and talk to the class reunions, and I've spoken to some of Richard's class reunions and others, I always say to them, the only hope for the human race is that children do better than their parents and students do better than their teachers. And happily, in my life, that has been true, and Richard is a prime example of that.
Well, that would be an extraordinary thing, and I just have to share one of the profound memories that I had of law school was we lived in Brentwood in my first year separately, and I obviously, and I was driving on Sunset Boulevard and about to get on the 405, and I looked over to my left, and I saw you on my way to our contracts class. And I went a little nuts because I hadn't really studied as well as I needed to for the class. So there I am driving on the 405 and then the 10 to get to USC, cramming because I thought that because I was top of mind, you were going to call on me. And I tried as hard as I could to hide under my desk, but I think you did call on me. But I wanted to correct something that Tom said, because I think this is essential for lawyers especially, but anyone. You can study words, you can copy words, you can steal words, Tom, for your closing arguments, but the reason your closing arguments and the reason all of what you communicate as a lawyer works so incredibly well is not because of the words. It's because of the voice tone and the body language and the who you are that you bring into the courtroom. A study that was done in 1968 at the University of Pennsylvania showed that words actually, in terms of creating the impact, they like you, they like your witness, they like your client, they don't like you, they don't like your witness, they don't like your client. Only 7% of that is really delivered by the words. 93% is nonverbal. And the way to prove that, because people all over the world, and I've done seminars talking about this in 34 countries around the world, and people go nuts. They go, oh, hold on, what do you mean? How can you say that? All you have to do is look at Bill Clinton and Al Gore in the 8 years that they were in the White House and realize you had Clinton, who went out there and nailed every speech, and people loved him. And they had Gore, who went out there and he bored people to tears, and no one really was inspired by him. And then
they said the same words, basically.
To realize that they had the same speechwriters. They had the same speechwriters.
Wow. We're going to pause for just a moment as you listen to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller. Our guest is Richard Green. He is the author of Words That Shook the World. I'm Dave Dino. we have a lot more in store, including some very interesting excerpts from very famous speeches. So stick around here at Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement. Here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement. Here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Welcome back to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller. I'm Dave Dino, and our guest today is Richard Green. He is the author of Words That Shook the World. Lest people think that we're about to embark on a fairly academic discussion of great speech writing, let's talk about the application. Who does this matter to? Who are we talking to today? Who can profit by listening today to what we're going to be talking about?
It's a very small and very narrow demographic. It would be only those people who want people to listen to them, to be paying attention to them, and to be engaged when they speak.
You know, so we're talking about Erica here.
Oh.
No, what we're talking about here is really the science of communication. And I, very fortunate, I escaped being a lawyer. In one way, that was a bad thing because I did love many aspects of it. But it really allowed me to do what I've been doing for the last 29 years, and that's travel around the world and share these insights. And it happened because one of my very last clients back in 1984 was a guy named Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins, yeah, the motivational speaker, mm-hmm, and I became his lawyer. And then I realized what he was doing was even more fun than practicing law, mm-hmm, and was really making a big difference in the world, teaching people how to communicate with themselves internally and how to communicate to other, mm-hmm, people. And it is profoundly important for people to not just focus on sending messages out, not just focus on presenting or performing words either at their wife or their children or their students or at their clients or at large audiences, but to actually fundamentally redefine what communication is. And what makes great communicators like Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton or Martin Luther King as great as they are, and this happens on a micro level as well when you're speaking just one-on-one, is that they literally think of communication as a circle, as a conversation with the person that they're speaking with, mm, and not as a download of data. And I cannot tell you how many CEOs and how many lawyers and doctors think that their job is done when they've just faxed or downloaded or emailed you know, in essence, through their voice, a bunch of data, and they go, I'm done. But you're not done unless and until the person on the other end of that communication is having the effect that you want him to have. There's something in neurolinguistic programming, which is the science of communication that Anthony Robbins popularized, and it says that the meaning of the communication, the meaning of any communication that you deliver, is not what you think it is. It's not what comes out of your mouth. It's the response that you get. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking to a jury and you're trying to convince them, because it's so obvious and so logical for you that your client is innocent, for example, and the jurors are not getting that, then you're failing. Mm. You're not communicating what you think you're communicating. It's only the result.
Tom?
You know, the jury trial has changed considerably over my legal lifetime. You know, one time, if people had jobs, they would be excused. If women were raising children, they would be excused. And so after you got rid of all the people who were excused, you generally had a bunch of folks maybe that were retired for many years, didn't have anything going on, and so forth. And sometimes the arguments of lawyers, ladies and gentlemen of this jury, you know, may be persuaded. Now, man, on that jury, there are at least five of those people, every bit as smart as you are, if not all 12 of them. And the realization that you better come to grips with this thing and communicate, including talking about maybe bad aspects of the case. You know, gee whiz, that expert they brought in, that guy was pretty good at first blush.
The law of candor, we call that in advertising.
Is that right? Huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll steal that too.
There you go.
But there's no question about it that the persuasion business has changed. To a certain extent of your methodology in which you can do it. On the other hand, how great fun, Dave Dino, this is. This practice of law, it's so darned exciting. And you try this case, and then the jury comes back, and we find in favor of Holy Toledo. You say, I did it.
Tom,
I persuaded.
I have a question for you then.
Yeah.
You're in front of the jury. You're making your final argument. And you realize somehow it's not working. It's not connecting. What do?
You have to change pitches. You can see that. You see a lot of arms folded and people looking at the door and people checking their watch. You ain't doing so hot, okay?
Body language.
You're watching that stuff like a hawk.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll call attention to it. Listen, you know, I can see maybe in my mind that maybe some of you don't quite go along with this, but let's look at this law. Let's go back here. You're not free here just to do whatever you want. We got to follow this law. So see this, what the judge is going to instruct you on? Now, when we look at that, do you think that fits better? You know, I want you to, I know you got to do something to change,
mm-hmm.
change the,
mm-hmm.
the best I saw of that, of changing the focus was, in Casino.
Hmm.
So De Niro asks mm-hmm. her to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, and he says, you know, I love you. I want to get married. And she says, you know what? She says, I don't love you. Now, a lot of us would take that as, okay, phase two. He says, wait a minute. Love is something that can grow. And, you know, I mean, what you have to worry about is somebody in your corner. You'll never have to worry about anything again. I'm doing well now. I'm even going to do better in the future. And love will grow, and you'll be taken care of. And he reaches out his hand. He says, do you want to give it a chance? The camera's on the two hands. It comes back, and there they are at the wedding, okay? So changing the focus there from love to financial security did it.
It's interesting because Tom is right. The context of how you persuade people constantly changes. The juries change. The use of technology changed. But what's remarkable is how much of it goes back to the absolutely classic advice on speech writing, which is Aristotle's.
Hmm.
Two of whose basic principles were, it's not just what you say, but it depends on the credibility of the person who's saying it. You must have personal credibility, authenticity in saying it, and also know the audience you're talking to and what results you want. And when you go back and read Aristotle on all this, we've gone through variations, we've gone through different contexts, but this is still the basic book on it.
Richard? Can I just say a few things about what makes Tom Girardi and also Howard Miller as good as they are at what they do? You said a few things. You implied, Tom, that everybody, when they're communicating, either in a courtroom or outside, is really paying attention to the audience. That, to you, is such an essential, integral part of your being a trial lawyer that you can't imagine that people don't do that. And it is one of the biggest problems that I find. People are so, as I mentioned before, so focused on getting their words out of their mouth that they're not paying attention to the 55%. Remember I said that 7% was words. 55% of communication between human beings is body language. And if you are not paying attention to the reaction of the judge or the jurors or the people all over your audience, you're not going to be an effective communicator. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how good your case is. You need to actually make eye contact when you're giving a speech, for example, with everybody in the audience that you can. Every single human being has to walk out of that audience saying, he was speaking directly to me.
It's interesting you talk about the audience. Being on television or in the radio presents a special challenge because the audience is not there in front of you. And when I did a television show I did many years ago on PBS, and I wondered about that because you're there are millions of people listening. And the best advice I was given, which I tried to live by, was forget about the million people. You're talking to one person. And what you have to do is imagine that person you're talking to, depending on what you're talking about. Imagine the person who disagrees with you. Imagine a person with a different background. And as though you were having a conversation with a single person. Forget about the camera. Forget about the millions. Talk to a single person. You just have to imagine that person because that person is not physically there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Here's my definition. And I shared this. I was the senior judge, the Simon Cowell, as it were, of a American Idol meets public speaking show on TLC back in 2006, and I put out this new definition, and if people who are listening, if you're listening, you, because we're having a conversation, and you're at all nervous about public speaking, either in a courtroom or to an audience, this definition will change everything. Public speaking is nothing more than, number one, having a conversation, number two, about something you are authentically passionate about. And when Howard mentioned the word authenticity, that was the a second thing that I want to talk about with respect to Tom and Howard. Tom, when you walk into the courtroom and you're making a compelling case on behalf of your client, the reason it works is not only because your words are great and because you've got, you know, whatever strategy that you have after all of these years of practicing law, it's because people believe you are authentic. And that you are talking to them as one human being, not a lawyer, but a human being to another, and having a genuine, authentic conversation with them.
And this is where talking to lawyers, it's interesting because so many lawyers develop an argumentative style that is counterproductive and don't focus on the psychology of the decision maker. I remember one discussion I had with the young associate. We were going to argue in front of a judge, and all the cases were laid out and the precise arguments and the differences. And I couldn't resist finally saying, you know, you're still at the stage of your career where you think the law is in the books. Of course the books are important, but the final persuasive element is how you do it and the psychology of who you're listening
and
to.
And you grilled us on this for an entire year in contracts at USC.
It's hard to break away, but we're going to do so for just a moment as you listen to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller and our guest, Richard Green. He is the author of Words That Shook the World. I'm Dave Dino. We'll be back with more in just a moment here at Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. Mayor Eric Garcetti will speak at the California Democratic Party State Convention in San Diego today. He's among several potential presidential contenders expected to make an appearance. The Los Angeles Kings will honor former defenseman Mark Hardy before tonight's game against the Edmonton Oilers at Staples Center, their final Legends Night Series game of the season. Retired broadcaster Bob Miller will serve as master of ceremonies for the pregame ceremony. Hardy played 11 seasons with the Kings. The National Weather Service has issued a wind advisory from 1 until 9 p.m. today with northwest winds 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusts to 40. KABC SoCal weather, sunny today, highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the upper 30s to mid-40s, except around 50 in the hills. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Gary Garrison, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Hi, Al Rantel here. Tune in Sunday mornings from 6 to 7 for our new show, On the Money, brought to you by House Today, Cash Tomorrow. We'll talk about all things money in this dynamic economy with unique insight and no financial instruments of any kind to sell you, just trying to make you smarter. Tune into our podcast anytime, too, on demand at HouseTodayCashTomorrow.com. We'll see you here Sunday morning and on demand at HouseTodayCashTomorrow.com.
Norm's Bigger Better Breakfasts are back for just $6.99. Bacon, eggs, sausage, ham, golden hash browns, and scratch-made buttermilk hotcakes. All day, every day for $6.99. Norm's Restaurants.
February is Heart Health Month, so Quantum Nutrition Labs is featuring two key support agents for promoting cardiovascular and circulatory health. Quantum Delta Tocotrienol and Quantum Resveratrol. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. And get a free copy of the Biofield Diet. Now is the time to commit to making your heart health a priority year-round. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Are you wondering how to improve your relationships and your life? Are you curious if we've all been through what you're experiencing? Well, take a seat on the couch with Dr. Leanna and me, Eric Scott Smith, Fridays at midnight, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Choosy Moms choose Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We're back with more of Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller, and our guest, Richard Green, the author of Words That Shook the World. Tom?
In listening to this, I was very moved by Barbara Jordan. Mm. You like her too, right?
Well, Barbara Jordan's one of the greatest speakers that most people don't know. Truly one of the greatest American speakers or international speakers in the history of our species.
Okay, let's try that.
Earlier today, we heard the beginning of the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. We the people. It's a very eloquent beginning. But when that document was completed on the 17th of September in 1787, I was not included in that we the people. I felt somehow for many years that George Washington and Alexander Hamilton just left me out by mistake. But through the process of amendment, interpretation and court decision, I have finally been included in We the People. Today I am an inquisitor. And hyperbole would not be fictional and would not overstate the solemnness that I feel right now. My faith in the Constitution is whole, it is complete, it is total. And I am not going to sit here and be an idle spectator to the diminution, the subversion, the destruction of the Constitution.
All right. What makes that so great? Why do you like that so much?
Okay. Well, first of all, Barbara Jordan overcame just about every prejudice known to man at that time. I mean, she was African American. She was a woman coming from the Deep South in the 60s and 70s. She was also gay.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the resonance of her voice and because of her intelligence, her conviction, the pauses that you could hear in that clip, the punctuation, she was the whole package. It was extraordinary. If you want to learn how, through especially your voice tone, how to engage and inspire and empower and like freeze an audience in their tracks, study Barbara Jordan's speeches.
And by the way, the book comes with a CD with all the speeches we're going to hear on it.
But I'm going to break some news here. I'm going to make an announcement
here. Okay, we're ready for
it. Okay, so I've written two books, Words That Shook the World, 100 Years of Unforgettable Speeches and Events. Mm-hmm. So the 20 greatest, most inspiring speeches of the 20th century, starting Teddy Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, Douglas MacArthur, Ronald Reagan, etc. And then I wrote an addendum called The First Decade of the 21st Century, which was Barack Obama, his 2004 keynote address, which without that 16-minute address, he would not be president of the United States.
Wow.
Absolutely, positively would not. It was his, hello, America, here I am, and they said, wow, we want you. And President Ono of Indonesia, who gave an incredible speech at Harvard in 2009, I am now announcing that I'm writing a third book, and very relevant to your audience, Tom. And it's an honor to break this on your show. And it's going to be the third in the Words That Shook the World series. And it's going to be Words That Shook the World, the business world. And we're going to be scouring the country, trying to find the 10 best business speakers in the country, and including, of course, lawyers. And I expect a huge percentage of those 10 to be lawyers.
We can go down through history, and we can mention certain words that bring to mind memorable speeches. Give me liberty or give me death. 67 years ago. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And so forth and so on. Can a great speech just simply happen of itself, or is a great speech created by the times, by events?
Before Richard answers, I'll remember Daniel Webster's famous answer after he gave one of the greatest speeches in the history of the United States Senate, his reply to Senator Hain. And afterwards, someone came up to him and said, Senator Webster, how long did it take you to write that speech? And he said, my entire life.
Okay, now you can answer.
Wow. No, I couldn't say it better. That's exactly right. A speech that is powerful is a speech that brings out who you are. We respond not to the words, not even to the voice tone or the body language. We respond to the authenticity of who someone is. I mean, Barbara Jordan, we just heard in that clip, she was communicating her entire life. John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan. So that is a perfect way to say that. If I can just complete what I was saying about the book. So I am encouraging and inviting anyone who listens who thinks that they're a pretty good speaker to actually send me a clip of you speaking, and we're going to go through the selection process. This is a national competition, and just send me an email to richard@wordsthatshooktheworld, and when you do, to help you along and to thank you for participating, we're going to send you a link to my DVD, my training DVD, The 5 Communication Secrets That Swept Obama to the Presidency.
And another thing, if I can, you know, Dave, you read the great lines, and we remember these speeches from the great lines. And Richard mentioned President Obama's speech in 2004, which everyone remembers for not a red state America or blue state America, but a United States of America. Those are the lines by which we remember the speeches. But the speeches were great not because of those lines, because those lines were all given in a context. I mean, we're going to listen to Kennedy's talk at the Berlin Wall and to Reagan. You have to see the context in which they were said, because they built to those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they had the impact. And it's important to see the full context of what makes them impressive and memorable.
The eagle has landed.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Old soldiers never die. Give me a break, huh? Isn't that great stuff? And that was, these words were years ago, and everybody out there still remembers them, huh?
Well, it's what we refer to in communication as, or what I refer to as, the lasered compelling message. And this is another huge mistake that I find that lawyers and speakers make. It's the, I'm going to take a bowl of spaghetti of facts, and I'm going to throw it against the wall, and I'm going to hope that the jury figures out which ones are important. I'm going to hope that the audience is inspired by the right things. That's absolutely the wrong approach. Your job as an attorney, as a teacher, as a speaker, is to distill the essence of what it is that you want people to be thinking, feeling, or doing when they walk out of the room. That's the, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Ask not what your country can do for you.
This is such an important, I have this discussion all the time on advocacy. There are a couple of views of advocacy. One of them, which I disagree with, as Richard does, which is throw it all up and see what sticks.
It doesn't work.
My view of advocacy is your case is no stronger than your weakest argument, because your weakest argument will affect your credibility. And you've got to have the courage to decide what is strong and depend on it, and not just pray that if that doesn't work, something else will.
And what Tom was saying was brilliant. If there is a weakness in your argument and you acknowledge it, just like if you're a politician and you say, you know what, I don't know, that gives you enormous credibility for everything else that you say.
First job I had out of law school, this was a long, long time ago, and long enough time ago, and what I'm about to tell you was publicly said at another time. Also, was the clerk for a justice on the Supreme Court of California, Roger Traynor. And because we both lived in Berkeley, he asked me to drive back and forth across the Bay Bridge with him every day. And what we did, we only talked about the law, and on the days after the Supreme Court arguments, we talk about the arguments. So the first time we're driving across the bridge, we're talking about the arguments, and Justice Traynor mentions a particular lawyer in a case, and he says, that man thinks I'm an idiot. And I said, come on. I said, no one in the known universe thinks you're an idiot. He said, no, I don't mean he'd walk up to me on the street and say, Roger, you're an idiot. I mean, we asked him about a weak point in this case. I asked him about a weak point in this case. He knew it was a weak point. He knew I knew it was a weak point. He knew the whole court knew it was a weak point. But instead of trying to put it in a context that explained, he argued that he was 100% correct on the point, as he was on every other point. And at that moment, he lost credibility with all of us.
Wow.
He said, what we're looking for are people who join in a discussion about what they know we are concerned about. Get inside our minds. Help us to think it through. Talk about it. If all you do is stand up and argue every point as though you're 100% right, you're through.
Tom?
You know what? I want to listen to a couple more clips.
Mm-hmm. This is an amazing moment in history. And this is one of the reasons I ask you, Richard, about that issue of does a speech stand on its own? Do sometimes the times bring a speech and create a speech? This is one of those moments in time. Let's listen to the words of President John F. Kennedy.
There are many people in the world who really don't understand, or say they don't, what is the great issue between the free world and the communist world. Let them come to Berlin. There are some who say that communism is the wave of the future. Let them come to Berlin. And there are some who say in Europe and elsewhere, we can work with the communists. Let them come to Berlin. And there are even a few who say that it's true that communism is an evil system, but it permits us to make economic progress. Lass sie nach Berlin kommen. Let them come. All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the word, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Still, even today, that creates a reaction in me.
And notice how he said, let them come to Berlin, and how he repeats it over and over again. Mm-hmm. It catalyzed the entire Cold War mentality and the efforts of the United States and the free world. But I have to slightly disagree. I think that human beings are even more compelling than the context of the times in which they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are sitting in an audience and someone comes up, like Barack Obama, there wasn't a huge amount of context there when he took the stage in 2004. It was the force of this personality, the authenticity, the freshness of his perspective, the self-effacing, all of that. And it was like, wow, this is a different kind of politician. He created the context that drove his ascent within 4 years to the presidency.
We're going to pause one last time as you listen to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller, and our special guest Richard Green, the author of Words That Shook the World, coming up in just a few moments, one of the most famous speeches of all of modern history. Don't go away. I'm Dave Dino, and we'll be back with more in just a moment here at Talk Radio 790 KABC.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just won a dance-off competition that saved the world.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Runny noses, time for a Target run. Stop by and fill your prescriptions at CVS Pharmacy at Target and earn a $5 Target coupon for 10 prescriptions filled. And while you're here, pick up a Kleenex 4-pack for $5.99. Get low prices on thousands of items today and every day. Target run and done. Up to $50 in Target coupons annually. Not valid on certain prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Go to cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. Prices may vary.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent. What? And a low APR.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
They say, want a new wireless plan? Gotta buy a new phone. At Simple Mobile, we say, just bring your own phone. Then pop in a Simple Mobile SIM card and boom, you've got 30-day unlimited plans starting at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network, all with no contract. You can keep it complicated, or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Talk Radio
790
KABC.
We're back with today's final segment of Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller and our guest, Richard Green, author of Words That Shook the World. Tom?
You know, I wish we could just play all these things because they're so darn good. But I do want to play a brief segment from Ronald Reagan.
And what's great about this, people only know Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall, but he builds up to it in such a beautiful, rhythmic way. This is a great moment in speech history.
Let's listen.
There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's an interesting juxtaposition to what we heard earlier from Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Kennedy going there so many years earlier, and now here Reagan coming and saying, you know, tear down this wall, and then the subsequent events of history after this.
But again, I want to remind you what I said in the beginning, and something that lawyers forget at their peril. It is not just the words. What makes that clip from Ronald Reagan work is the pauses, the punctuation, the variation in the intonation of his voice. 38% of how you communicate to an audience is how you use your voice tone, and we're not trained in it, and people are generally monotone and very, very very poorly utilize and use that incredible instrument called the voice.
What do you do?
I travel around the world, and I share what I am incredibly passionate about, which is the five communication secrets that will allow anyone to engage and inspire an audience, whether it's their kid, their spouse, a jury, or, you know, an audience of 150,000 people. It doesn't matter, and help people overcome the fear of public speaking, which is the biggest fear we have on the planet amongst adults.
If you have teenagers, listen.
You want me to tell you what they are?
Yeah.
Because you guys do them right. You really do. Number one, secret number one, and again, I'm happy to share this with people if they want to send me their submission to this selection process to find the best lawyers and business people in the United States to go into my next book, richard@wordsthatshooktheworld.com. Secret number one is that the great speakers, Ronald Reagan, John F. Kennedy, Barbara Jordan, all of these people, they use their words, their voice tone, and their body language in an attractive, effective, compelling manner. Secret number two is they...
Hang on now. What do you mean in the body language?
What I mean, for example, with voice tone, 38%, when you listen to John F. Kennedy or Barbara Jordan or Ronald Reagan or anyone, there is variation in volume, there is variation in pace, there is variation in pitch. John F. Kennedy didn't go, "And my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you." He went, "And so my fellow Americans, ask not." So the pitch went up, the volume went up, and then it goes down. What your country can do for you. You have to have variation. You have to have punctuation, two ways to punctuate the things that are most important in your argument to the jury, and that is by word. You know, Martin Luther King, when he said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will live out the true meaning of its creed," if he had said it without pausing and punctuation and variation in his voice, we might not even have a Martin Luther King holiday. That's how important people's voice tone is in creating that variation. So he said, "And I have a dream that one day..." Pause, pause, pause. "This nation," pause, 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 "will live out the true meaning of its creed, that all men," right? Without the punctuation, people are not engaged, no matter what the content is. Now, number three is your body language. Are you looking into the eyes of the people that you're speaking, whether they're on the jury or whether they're in an audience? Are your shoulders up or are you slunched over? Do you look authoritative? Are your gestures down or are they up? Are they outside what I call the power zone, which is between your shoulders? There's a lot of things that happen with body language that the great communicators do. Sometimes they know about it, sometimes they don't. And I agree with you, Bill Clinton, his body language of listening is the best I've ever seen. And because of that, he makes people feel like they are the only person in the world and feel so acknowledged. It's almost like they're getting mom's unconditional love. Every communicator can do that in every context. We just need to know about it. So that's secret number one. Secret number two, what's your lasered compelling message? What is the point, the "I have a dream," the "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall"? What is the essence, the core, the one exciting, powerful thing about your product, your service, your legal argument? Secret number three, and this is a huge one, most people think that when they stand up and they give a speech or they make a presentation, that it's a performance. The essence of communication is that you want to have not a performance at, not a presentation to, but you want to, and all great communicators do this, have a conversation with the audience. Secret number four is fascinating. We could spend a whole show on it, and that is that there are five parts of the human brain. Those five parts, the senses, right? Seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, hearing, are broken into four languages: the visual language, high energy excitement, the auditory language, which is the part that translates what you see and what you think and what you feel into simple, easy, user-friendly words that a jury can understand. Ronald Reagan, for example, Bill Clinton, fantastic. They're the great communicators because they could translate everything into easy-to-understand stories and words. The auditory digital language, do you have substance? Sarah Palin lost enormous respect because of one interview with Katie Couric when she asked her, you know, "Governor, what do you read?" And she couldn't come up with an answer. And the people who are data lovers go, "Are you kidding me?" The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the whatever. You've got to have that level of substance. And that was something that Howard, as a professor, is like, wow. incredible. We had instant respect for him because he is so profoundly auditory digital. But the most important language is the kinesthetic, and that's where Tom Girardi is the best I have ever seen. People want to come up and hug Tom after meeting him for 30 seconds, and that's what creates the jury's connection to you. And then the last secret is the most important. And you look at all the great speakers, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Barbara Jordan in that clip. Do you have not just passion, but do you have authentic, honest, real, genuine passion for the argument that you're making to the judge or the jury, for the case, the points that you're making to the audience? Or are you BSing? You're trying to position, you're trying to manipulate, you're trying to sell. Authentic passion is the most important thing. It will power the fluctuations and variations and punctuation in your voice and body language, and it will power that connection to the audience and overcome any fear you might ever have.
Any talk that we have about speeches and great speeches of history would be terribly incomplete if we did not include the man who is considered the greatest speaker in modern history, and that is Martin Luther King. And I'd like you to introduce one final cut from Martin Luther King, and then tell us a little bit about why you think this was so effective.
You know, I've worked with probably 100,000 speakers in 34 countries for the last 29 years, and every person I've ever seen, there's one little thing that I could suggest to make them better in one of those five secrets. Dr. King is flawless. It's honestly, if you want to learn how to really be an authentically passionate, amazing communicator, just pull up YouTube clips of him all day long, and by the end of the day, you'll be a better speaker. His last speech, given a day before he was shot dead in Memphis, you know, I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. In the beginning, or about 2 minutes before that, the end of that speech, he talks about the United States Constitution in the most powerful and subtle way. And this guy was a genius speechwriter and a genius speech deliverer. And this is one of my favorite clips.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
And that is amazing. That is history. Not just in our ears, but in our eyes as well, in our mind, because we can actually see that, can't we?
You know what, Dave Dino, this has been very interesting. All right, here's the story, pal. You're coming back here next year. And Howard and I are here. Dave Dino's here. We're going to say, all right, Mr. Green, what have you been doing this past year? How have you changed the world?
How I've changed the world is I've brought to their attention the 10 greatest lawyers and other business leaders in the United States. And because as I travel around doing a lot of work with the Young President's Organization and other business groups, I don't have as many great business examples of great speakers, because it's not just political speakers. I want people to be inspired by people who are out there in courtrooms and speaking to business audiences and changing America and changing the world through their inspirational speaking. And I want to make some superstars and some heroes out of people who are not yet known. And so that it'll be very exciting for me to come perhaps on air with some of the lawyers who are in my new book.
Richard Green, this was fun. No kidding. What a hoot. You have a lot of great ideas or a lot of great thoughts. very inspirational to us who are in this sort of business. That makes it very, very important.
And likewise, both of you have had a very significant influence on my life, and I thank you both.
You have been listening to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Howard Miller. And our guest today, the author of Words That Shook the World, he's Richard Green. If you would like to participate in his next project, you can email him at richard@wordsthatshooktheworld. Our producer is Amanda Mars. I'm Dave Dino. A final thought in this, just to show you that what we're talking about today is not quite so new. Let's go back to 3400 B.C. Maxims of Tehotep. Be a craftsman in speech, that thou mayest be strong. For the strength of one is the tongue, and speech is mightier than all fighting. That is what our guest teaches, and as such, he is a champion of justice. Thank you for joining us.
This show furnished by Girardi Keys.